Anybody else got a song this morning? If not, turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 6. 2 Corinthians chapter 6. This morning as we come together, what I want to try to encourage us is in 2014 that we continue to work together as we have in the past years, but even more so coming up in the years to come, that we work even harder to get the Word of God out, that we live even a greater influence out in the world, that our light would shine even brighter in 2014, that we pray even harder than we've ever prayed before, that we do as Paul and Silas did when they were down in the prison house, that we get down to business with God, that we pray and we get a hold of the horns of the altar until the ground is shaking round about us with our prayer life, that we can see changes come in America, in hearts and lives of people that we know and love, that's near and dear to us, and even our enemies, as Jesus tells us to pray for our enemies, that they might be saved and no longer be enemies, but come together to join in one mind and one heart, one accord to serve God. Now, in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, it begins, "We then, as workers together with Him, beseech you also that you receive not the grace of God in vain." Now, let me tell you, today in many places they are receiving the grace of God in vain. They have a form and a fashion and act as a church, look like a church, but when it comes down to it, the church is not present because God's people are not working together. They're working against one another, not working for the glory of God, but they're expecting the grace of God, but they're expecting it in vain because they're not coming together as one mind and one body. We have little cliques here and little cliques there, and it's not going to work. Serving God. We have to be one with God, one body, united through the Spirit of Jesus Christ and through His blood, that we can work together and not work in vain, but that we work that people will see the need to be saved, that they'll see what Jesus Christ can do in our lives. Now, let me tell you, I've never saved one person. You have never saved one person. Now, you may lead someone to Jesus Christ, but Christ will do the saving. God will do the calling, and Jesus' blood is sufficient for the sacrifice and to save them from their sin. But I have never been able to save anyone. If I could, they wouldn't be a lost person in the world. If I could do it myself for them, they wouldn't be lost any longer. Christ did it that they don't have to be lost. God has already given the salvation for their sin and the payment for their sin and the redemption for their sin, but they have to ask Him to come in. Amen. Not sit in vain on a church pew thinking they're all right because they're in the four walls of the church with a roof over their head, sitting on the good pews and reading out of the good song books and reading of God's Bible. It takes salvation. Amen. And if we're coming any other way, we're coming in vain. But we have to come through and by the blood of Jesus Christ to serve Him. We the church, not the building. Amen. For He saith, "I have heard thee in a time accepted, and in the day of salvation have I secured thee. Behold, now is the acceptable time. Behold, now is the day of salvation." Not tomorrow. Not what was yesteryear and the spirit that moved then. But this today is the day of salvation. People are dying and going to hell today because they're not saved through and by the blood of Jesus Christ. Not because of a hatred, but because they have been separated because of sin from the love of God. Not because of the love of God. They have separated themselves and stayed in sin and not received the most precious gift, Jesus Christ. He said, "I have heard you in the day accepted." There was a day when God dealt with our heart. And he convicted us and drawed us to an altar of repentance. And we repented of our sin and asked Jesus to come in. He said, "I have heard you in the day accepted, and in the day of salvation have I secured thee, taken care of thee, secured thee, have taken thee into my care, have lifted your burden, have took it upon myself." Anyhow you want to word it. "Behold, now is the acceptable time." Young people, don't let anybody tell you you've got all your life to get saved. When God deals with your heart, that's the time for salvation. Not when you get ready, but when God is ready for you. When God's knocking, come walking up and receive Him as your Savior. It's important that you don't let peer pressure keep you from loving God. Older adults, When God is knocking on your heart's door to lead you, whatever it might be, whether if you're saved or not, or whether you're fulfilling the ministry that God's got planned for your life, when He's knocking, it's time to answer. Amen. Not sit back and hold on to the pew till you leave your hand marks in the back of the pew there. Turn loose and let God. And you will see a great and wonderful thing. But today, now is the acceptable time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. There's so many people waiting. When I get ready, when I clean up, when I get rid of this alcohol, when I get rid of the pills, when I get rid of committing adultery, when I get rid of the pornography, when I get rid of this, when I get rid of that, then I'll go to church and straighten up my life. Friend, if you'll come to Jesus, He'll get rid of all of it for you. But you got to trust Him. You got to trust Him. Give no offense in anything that thy ministry be not blamed. There's many preachers. You may, when you hear the word ministry, many times we limp it into the preacher. But we all have a ministry. We all have a message we preach every day as we walk in life. And remember, when I'm pointing out this way, there's three pointing back. Give no offense in anything that the ministry be not blamed. Now, if people get offended because of this word, this precious book that we hold so dear, if we are offended by this book, then we need to straighten up. If this book hurts our feelings, then your feelings needs to be hurt, because God's trying to get our attention. When I read God's Word, when I'm making preparation, when I'm studying, sometimes it gets on my toes, and I count it a blessing, because I'm not perfect. I'll be the first to tell you that. Sandra will be the second. But we all know that we're not perfect when we are a true child of God, because we realize how fragile we are and how frail we are and how much we fail God when we're truly committed to Him. Now, somebody that just has a head religion, they think they're perfect. Now, did you hear me? Somebody that's got a head religion thinks they're perfect. But it's a heart salvation that gets us to heaven. And when we got a heart of salvation, we realize how imperfect we are. Because we read God's Word, and we know that when it speaks to our heart and we look into the mirror of the Word, we don't always like what we see. We see our failures, but God's not doing it to get us down. He's doing it to encourage us that we can be better than what we are today. That we can be a better Christian tomorrow. We can be a better Christian even this afternoon than we were this morning. Ain't that a good thing that God does for us? But there's many ministries that's being blamed while people are not going to church. Many ministries that are being blamed that's keeping people out of the house of God. But let me tell you something. That ministry won't go to hell, but if you stay lost and undone without God, you will. You will. But in all things, approving ourselves as the ministers of God in much patience, in afflictions, in necessity, in distresses, in stripes, and imprisonment, in tumults, and labors, in watching, in fasting, by purpose, by knowledge, by long-suffering, by kindness, by the Holy Ghost, by love unfeigned. Did you get all that? In all things, approving ourselves as the ministers of God, in much patience. Well, sometimes I don't have much patience. They're getting better than they used to be. Sometimes they don't have much patience. In afflictions, when you're afflicted, do you have patience? Do you pray more when you're afflicted than you do when you're doing good? Most people do. Most people try to get more in touch with God so the affliction will leave them. In necessities, when we're in need, we pray for what we're in need of. More times than not, we pray for what we want instead of what we need. In distresses, I believe Brother Moyman was talking about the stress that people's been under, the hardships in this last couple of months that's been going on, people's lives and the burdens of this life and things that's going on there. When we get in distress, we call on God more, we trust Him more, we rely on Him more, and He tells us in all these things, in stripes and imprisonment. I don't think any of us have ever been in prison for serving God. Like I said before, if If your life was witness against you for being a Christian, would you have enough to convict you? I hope and pray that we do. In tumults, in labors, do you work unto the Lord when you're working on a job? Listen, young people, I want to tell you something. As you're coming up and some of you starting to work, you find out who the boss is, and when they tell you to do something, if it ain't against the law, you do it because that's your job. Amen. Not because somebody else don't, but you do it as you're doing it under God in the labor that you're doing it. You do it as you're serving Him. And if you don't like that job that you're in, you keep working hard and find you a better one. God will provide it. Amen. But you do the very best you can for the Lord as you labor in that job. And another little piece of advice is, when you start a job, you don't know it all about it. You have to learn it. And as you learn, and as you grow experience, then you're trusted with more. You can't start out being the boss. Listen, Christians, when we're saved, just because we got saved don't mean we can boss God around and tell Him how it ought to be. Because we don't know yet. We've not studied enough of His Word to find out that we need to trust Him in it. We need to rely on Him and say, here I am, God, mold me, make me, shape me into what I need to be, because I don't know. I don't know yet what I need to know. In watching, in fasting. Now, I'm going to tell you, you can tell by this, there ain't much fasting goes on. There's more of breakfasting goes on than fasting. But trouble is, when we want to fast, we decide to do it on the Word of God. Instead of getting into the Word of God and praying more and fasting from the things of this world. Now, fasting don't just count eating. It might be your TV time that you're giving up. It might be your computer time. Here's a big one for a lot of us anymore. It might be Facebook time that we've give up to get into the Word of God into prayer. Fasting covers many things. It might be going hunting. It might be going racing. It might be doing this or doing that or doing something else. But what we give up to serve God, we will never miss, because the blessings will be so much greater than what we give up. But in fastings, by pureness. How do we serve God? Do we serve Him with a pureness of heart, or do we serve Him out of an obligation that we feel that we have to do it, not because we want to do it? There's a difference. It's like loving God, and we choose to love Him instead of Him making us to love Him. By knowledge. By long-suffering. And sometimes the more education that we get, the less we know. Because we don't entrust that with the right and apply it with the right purpose. Well, as we need to get to know God's Word, it's not that we can argue more. It's not that we can try to make ourselves look bigger because we know God's Word, but it's to help others to get to know God's Word. By long suffering, every situation that you go through might not be solved in 5 minutes. It might take days, weeks, years to be accomplished. But keep on trusting God in whatever the situation is, and He will work it out. By kindness. And this time of year, more people's got kindness than they have the other 10 months. Through Thanksgiving and Christmas, people's got kindness in their hearts, and the rest of the time, they're out for number one. What I can get, what I can have, and what I can do. By the Holy Ghost, that scares some people. But listen, let the Holy Ghost, let God's Holy Spirit indwell in you. That's where He's supposed to be our comfort, to be our help, to be our guide, to lead us and guide us, to encourage us to go forward for God. By love unfeigned. Do you just love those that love you? Do you just love people in the good times and in the bad times? You just love yourself. That's not the kind of love that God wants us to have for one another. By the word of truth, by the power of God, by the armor of righteousness, on the right hand and on the left. By the word of truth. What is truth? This book is all true. Amen. If you want to know the truth, you go to the book and it will tell you the truth. And as he said in that movie that time, sometimes you can't handle the truth. By the power of God. Do you understand, as children of the Most High God, that you have power? I've not even tapped into the supply good. at what's disposable to the children of God. By the faith that we can have, by the prayer life we should have, the power that God can reveal in our life. By the armor of the righteousness on the right hand and on the left. Whose righteousness? It's God's righteousness. It's His armor that protects us. Nothing that we can build will defend us from Satan, but what God has created will defend us from Satan if we'll put it on. The whole armor of God. Excuse me. By honor and dishonor, by evil report and good report, as deceivers and yet true. By honor and dishonor. We honor the Word of God, and some people think that we dishonor them because we stand to this book and we stand with what it says. And once God said it, that settled it. Whether you believe it or not, it don't matter, but God has already settled it. It's in black and white in His book, and He has told us this is right, this is wrong. Excuse me. You see, Satan don't want you to hear this morning. He's jumped around up there in my head, knocking things loose. And I know some of you think he's got plenty of room for that. By evil report and good report, not everyone is going to always speak good of you. When you stand for God, not everyone is going to like it. And not everyone is going to speak good of you. And beware if some man that people all they have to say is good about. Because evidently he's saying what they want to hear and not what thus saith the Word of God. By evil report and good report. As deceivers and yet true. As deceivers and yet true. The Word of God is truth, as I said. It doesn't contradict itself. Some that don't understand the Word of God are not saved. When they hear things, it's quoted from the Word of God, when it's quoted in its entirety. Can't believe that it's true and consider you to be a deceiver. But yet it's the truth that they do not receive. As unknown and yet well known, as dying and behold we live, as chastened and not killed. As unknown and yet well known. You ever have somebody come up and call you by name and you didn't have no idea they knew who you were because you don't know who they are? But you have left a testimony somewhere that somebody has saw you and saw something in you that made them remember you and call you by name? As unknown but yet well known? I want to be well known by serving God, not being the hypocrite on the street corner. But being the child of God that I'm supposed to be, as dying because I've died out once to this world, died out to the sin because I've been born again. Born twice, died once. Thank God I live forever. And we live as chastened and not killed. Thank God there's no weapon being formed that man can make that's going to hurt me. You say, well, wait a minute. If I shoot you, it'll kill you. You might kill this body. You ain't going to hurt me. Because if you kill me, I've got heaven. So don't threaten me with heaven. I'm ready to go. Like the rest of you, ain't anxious to get there sometimes. I want to stay as long as I possibly can. Because that's the carnal in this body. We want to be here as long as we possibly can. But God says that's it. I'm ready to meet Him. As sorrowful, yet always rejoicing. Now, I've seen some people, I don't know if they've ever said a word of rejoicing in their life. Claim to be saved, but look like somebody done licked the red off their candy. And you'd think they was the most miserable people in the world. That's not what God wants us to be. And we'd be rejoicing. I can rejoice when I'm having trouble because I've got a God that cares and don't leave me. Amen. That for some reason He allowed that to come in my life to mold me and shape me, maybe trust Him more. Maybe I'm getting to the point where I'm walking away a little bit from Him and not trusting Him like I ought to. But when He comes, I can say, thank you, God, for chastising me and letting me come back to you because you love me. As poor, yet making many rich. As having nothing and yet possessing all things. We're the poorest rich people you'll ever meet. It tells us in God's Word that our Father owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. And He owns the hills, not just the cattle. And all things, when I think of His building materials that He used for heaven, and what He put for us to walk upon, and the foundations of the great walls of that city, how much He loved us, that He gave us a place of peace and rest, that we can be in the glassy sea before His throne, that has a bow about it as a rainbow with an emerald hue. I don't know about you, but I can't wrap my imagination around all that. Thank God one day I ain't going to have to imagine it. I'm going to be there. Amen. Oh, ye Corinthians, our mouth is open unto you, our hearts is enlarged. Today, if that's what Christians need to have a good case of, is an enlarged heart. You say, well, preacher, that's not good and people's got an enlarged heart. Not the kind that you're thinking about. An enlarged heart of love for our fellow man. An enlarged heart of service to God. An enlarged heart of service to the church. An enlarged heart of praying. An enlarged heart of trusting. An enlarged heart of loving those that are seem to be unlovable. That we reach out and we don't close off. Too many times we're closed off when we need to be enlarging. God, enlarge my borders that I may come in contact with more people that they may hear the Word of God. Ye are not straitened in us, but ye are straitened in your own bowels. Now remember, in the Testament times that we read about, Old Testament, New Testament, when we say bless your heart, they would say bless your bowels. Because that was where the root of their emotions lied, was in their bowels. We say in the heart, they say in the bowels. But there had to be compassion. There had to be love. To be moved in your heart, there has to be a moving of love, compassion, mercy. Remember, blessed are the merciful, for they shall find mercy. Mercy. Today we need to have mercy too as Christians. Compassion. Christ had compassion and saw us in the state we were in and knew there was a better state for us to be in. A state of being saved through His salvation. Amen. Now for a recompense in the same, I speak as unto my children, be ye also enlarged. Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath light with darkness? We can't compromise. We can't allow sin into God's house. Now, that is including His church and our lives. His church body is what it's talking about. Sin can walk through the doors of this church building and not change this building. But if sin walks in your life, that changes the church. And that affects the church. Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. We can't have satanic worship on one side of the church and God worship on the other side of the church and be equally yoked. It will not happen. It will not coincide with each other. It is unequally yoked. It's not going to pull the cart. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? None. What communion hath light with darkness? None. Because when the light shines, the darkness goes away. Amen. Now, little example. I've got a light that Sandra bought me some years ago. It's on a little hunting light. It's got two LED lights in the bill of that thing. And you can be in a real dark place and turn that thing on, and boy, it's just like daylight. But you can be where there's a little light, and you turn that light on, and it don't shine much. But when you're in total darkness and turn it on, it's a great light. Listen, some places we go as Christians, we're in total darkness. We need to let our light shine. It's easy to let it shine when we're throwing it with other lights. But when we're in the darkness is when we need to let it shine the most. Because the light will dispel the darkness. And what concord hath Christ with Belial? Or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? There's none. There's no relationship. Now we can be friends with them and try to win them to God, but as far as walking with them spiritually, we can't do it. Amen. We can't do it. We can't do it because there will be a conflict. You ever have somebody you come in contact with and for some reason the first time you meet you just can't get along? You keep rubbing each other the wrong way. You can't do nothing to please them. They can't do nothing to please you, and you don't know what it is till you get talking about being saved and you find out they're lost. Then there's no mystery while there's friction. While there's friction, they don't have communion with one another. And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? None. If we set up in here, then we look at the American flag and hold it up as an idol, or the Christian flag and hold it up as an idol, or the cross that's on top of the flag, or the eagle that's on top of this flag. If we hold those up as idols, we're not serving God like we should if we have an idol in His house. Amen. If we put something else before Him, it's an idol. Anything that we put before Him. You'll notice with the recent things that the homosexuals crying out about Phil Robertson, the idolaters, they didn't say nothing. Didn't hear them coming out, nor the drunkards, nor the adulterers that was made mention of in his quote. None of them come out. They were ashamed of what they done. Wasn't proud of their sin. Amen. And Satan has people blinded. Amen. For ye are the temple of the living God, as God hath said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. I'm thankful that I'm one of God's people. And I'm thankful that He's my God. And that He is the light source that gives me a light to shine. And I should be a mirror reflecting His image to the world. And let Him so shine through me that others will see Jesus. Wherefore come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, and will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. Now I'm thankful that I'm just passing through this world, that this is not my home. I'm thankful that the sin of the trespasses of the rest of the world is not held accountable on me, that Jesus paid that debt. And I'm glad that whenever I got saved, He put His Scotch guard all over me. So your sins and transgressions don't stick to me. The sin that's being committed out there today, those that are staying out of the house of God, separating themselves from His love, they're not going to stick to me. Just like the Hebrew children that were tossed in the fire, not even a hair was singed, not even the smell of smoke upon them. Thank God, when God protects you, you're protected completely. And I am His son. And not only me, but each and every one. A son or a daughter of the Lord Almighty. So when you're walking down the street, don't walk with your head down. You walk with your head up. I got to remind myself that when Satan attacks, walk with your head up. You're a child of the Lord God Almighty. Amen. You are more than a conqueror through Christ. You can do all things through Him. Amen. You're not defeated. You are victorious. Amen. Walk and talk and act as though you have victory. And give God the praise for it. But sinner friend, if you're here this morning and you've never received Him, you're not part of the victory yet. It's right close to you. You're just about to join the winning side because God is victorious. Because Jesus came and died on the cross of Calvary. That we could be saved, be born again. To die out to the old nature and walk forward with a new one. But you have to receive Jesus and the work that He did on the cross of Calvary. As He went and put His blood on the mercy seat of God to pay our sin debt. Up until that time, millions of animals a year were sacrificed upon the altar and the temple. But when Jesus came and went to the cross, there was one sacrifice that was made that ended all the rest. The veil of the temple was rent from the top to the bottom. Now you've got to understand the construction of this thing to be able to appreciate God ripping this that let us into the Holy of Holies. Because this was not just some ordinary piece of material. It wasn't like these curtains that's hanging in front of the church. No, this thing was woven together tightly to where light didn't pass through it. When they pulled against it with they stretched it with the oxen and the mules to tighten that weave to where it didn't get penetrated. This was a garment that was made that was perfect. But when Jesus died on the cross of Calvary, God ripped it from the top to the bottom to let us into the Holy of Holies. Friend, Jesus is standing knocking this morning. You have a doorknob on the inside of your heart. Will you let Him in? Will you receive Jesus today? It's the greatest decision you will ever make. Not buying a house, buying a car, where to go to school, who to marry, but receiving Jesus as your Savior. Will you receive Him this morning? Church, will we pray one mind, one body, one soul, one accord, and work together that we receive not the grace of God or the mercy of God in vain, that we receive it with His blessing, that we work together to see lost people come to Jesus. As they get a song of invitation ready this morning, Christians praying, sinners, examine your heart. If God is knocking at your heart's door this morning, He's wanting you to be saved. Will you surrender? Will you come? Will you come? It will be one of the greatest moments of your life if you'll just surrender and come to Him. He'll take care of the rest of the unrighteousness that's in your life, and He'll change that, and He'll give you a new heart's desire. But let Him do it. Because it'll be a change that will stay in your life. As we stand to our feet, all heads bowed, all eyes closed. No one looking. This morning, are you lost? Are you undone without Jesus? If you ask yourself the question, if I die right now, where would I go? And your answer is not heaven, friend, please come to an altar and ask Jesus to come in. If He's dealing with your heart, now is the acceptable time. He said, I have heard you in an acceptable day.